Richland is a wonderful place to be. If I lived down here in Richland, this is where I'd go to church. Amen. Well, I sure do appreciate the fellowship, and I look forward to seeing the good folks that are down here. And the place I had to stay, we got to stay again with Brother and Sister Osborne. And I'll tell you, it's a choice over there, get up on that little height, you know, where it's quiet and away from the highway, and look at those, that beautiful foliage back there in the woods and up on the hill. And to be with you good folks. But now I got a task on my hand. I'm afraid I got preached in the shade this morning. I got to follow Brother Johnny Gabbard. How would you like to do that? I mean, if you feel it's such an easy thing, just jump up here and I'll give you the mic. Amen. I mean, he had him going this morning. That was good. God hears, God knows, and God delivers. And that's the truth, so help me. God hears, he knows, and he delivers. You don't have to doubt that a bit. I talk a whole lot of preliminary around here, but let's just get down to business and get into Word. I hope you got your Bible with you. How many with your King James Bible with you? Raise it real high. Raise that Bible up so I can see it's a King James Bible, you know. Amen. I know we've added a few words like technology and Sputnik and missiles and things like that, but the King James language was the best. And they had a collection of the greatest scholars that have ever lived at that time. Lancelot Andrews knew 15 modern languages and 8 ancient languages. One of the leading men on the committee to translate King James. A man that prayed and meditated 5 hours every day. I didn't hear any praise the Lord. And they had a collection of the greatest scholars that have ever lived at that time. Lancelot Andrews knew 15 modern languages and 8 ancient languages. One of the leading men on the committee to translate King James. A man that prayed and meditated 5 hours every day. I didn't hear any praise the Lord. He meditated and prayed 5 hours every day, didn't want to be disturbed during that 5-hour period, and often was seen with tears streaming down his face as he considered how pitiful he was. That's the kind of man that helped give us King James. There ain't never been a translation committee since that could touch that. In my Bible, I got a King James, of course. In my Bible, right there in the front, the Holy Bible containing the Old and New Testament, authorized King James, says version. I've taken a red pencil and marked version out. This is not a version, it's a translation. It's not a version, it's a translation. And they have an automobile accident out here on the street somewhere. And they're going to have a lot of lawsuits in it. The secretary was looking out her window be a witness. And the cop that was up on the corner be a witness. And the car coming down the street be a witness. And that businessman just come out of his store be a witness. And every one of them would give their version of the accident. It wasn't like that when they translated King James. They went into the Greek and they gave us a word-for-word exact translation of what God was trying to tell us. They didn't take a vote. Well, I could talk about that, you know, for a long time because that's one of my favorite subjects is talk about how great the King James Version Bible is. So you say, Brother White, I don't quite understand it. Get you a good dictionary. That's all you need. You run across a word you don't know, get you a good dictionary, an old one. Some of the modern dictionaries are not good enough. Get you an old dictionary. And if you need to know what some of the words are, now I know there are some archaic words in there. I know that. I know that in Psalms, I think it's Psalms 2, said it talks about leasing, and you say, wonder what's the matter with leasing, but that word leasing in 1611 was lying. So there's some archaic words in there. You can go through there and get you a good dictionary when you run across something you don't understand. Well, you know, look in the dictionary. I mean, that's good common sense. I get up and run and get a dictionary all the time. When I'm reading my Bible, if I run across a word or something I don't fully understand, I just go get a good dictionary. Try to find out. I don't want to be left in the dark. I'm not the kind of fellow that just wants to read and read over it and say, blah, 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 blah. I don't know what that is, but go on. It might be the most important word in the sentence.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Maybe I could say this. When I said Lancelot Andrews spoke 15 modern languages and 8 ancient languages, if you're not really fluent in Hebrew and in Greek and Hebrew, I mean really fluent and know what you're doing, you'll make a mess out of it. And that's what's happened to most of the versions that's out there now. They made a mess out of it. You can say the rat ate the cheese in English, but you cannot say the cheese ate the rat. But now in Greek, you can write a 10-word sentence, take a pair of scissors and cut it up in little squares, turn the words over, scatter them around like a jigsaw puzzle, turn them back over and put them in a line, and whatever order they come up, it'll still mean the same thing. You have to know Greek to know that. You take in English, we have prefixes and suffixes. Take the word tend to your own business. Tended, I tended my garden. Pretend, I pretended I know something. They have prefixes and suffixes. In Greek, they have an augment right in the middle of a word. You had better know what you're doing. And Lancelot Andrews did. So trust your King James. Trust your King James Bible. Amen. Glory to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world.
Amen.
Turn with me in your Bible to, I'll tell you what. After Brother Gabbard preached this morning, I thought, man, to try to, save myself, I'm going to have to glean something out of about 2 or 3 messages. So I'm liable to just bounce all over the place to try to see if I can find something to tell you to bless your hearts. Acts chapter 3 and verse 6. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. Heavenly Father, please now, here we are in the Great Rich Lands Camp Meeting, the first day. And Lord, we had it started off right this morning. And now we need your benediction upon it for the rest of this week. Let things happen, Lord, in these first services, Lord, that will cause this camp meeting just to roll along from victory to victory until the time this meeting is over. Folks will be glad to rush out of these doors to carry the message to the four quarters of the United States in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen.
Amen.
Now, I've been saying this for so long, people have got me marked with it. One preacher got up the other day and said, I know Brother White says we've got to have a revival. We have got to have revival. And I don't mean a protracted meeting where you invite an evangelist in for a week or 3 days or what. I don't mean that. I mean a God-sent move when you feel like you're in revival on Wednesday night and then again on Sunday morning and again on Sunday night. We had a meeting like that one time years ago that lasted 8 weeks. We didn't have an evangelist. God started moving. I mean, all we had to do is invite people to come up and pray in the first prayer. We had invite them to come up instead of just standing and praying. We had invite them to come along the altar and they'd come up, and that was the end of it. About 9 o'clock or so, they'd quit and we'd send them on home. It went that way for about 8 weeks. And we had a preacher wandered by. He was in revival somewhere, and he came by and knew about our church, heard about it, stopped by and said, revival spirit here. And he decided to stay. After 2 or 3 days, didn't get a chance to preach, so he went on. Later on, we had another preacher stop by, and he seen there's a revival spirit, and he decided to stay. After several days, he went home. Another preacher come by. We had 3 preachers stop by during that 8 weeks, and I don't think we had more than 2 or 3 sermons during the whole 8 weeks. God had sent us a revival. That's what built the tabernacle in Richmond, Indiana, a move of God. We have got to have a move of God. The nation has to have it. And we need to get it in Pentecost so we can share it with the nation. We need a revival that will bleed over to the Baptist church next door and the Methodist church down the street and the Nazarene church over yonder. We need a revival. Amen. And as I said before, not a series of meetings, but we need a visitation from the Lord. Now, I got a letter from my congressman the other day, a few days ago. Mike Pence, he's a congressman for my district in Richmond, Indiana. And he said, please pray for our nation. Yeah. And I think that's a tragedy when the politicians begin to see how bad it is and beg for prayer for your nation. Yeah. And that's touched me. I've been praying for the United States ever since. And I've been praying for revival in Pentecost. And I've been praying for something further. I've been praying for God to send a revival in the Muslim world. If God would send a revival in the Muslim world, that could solve a lot of our problems. And so I say, God, send a revival in the Muslim world, especially in the United States, and turn one of their mosques into a Pentecostal revival center. And I say that day after day after day. I keep telling, if you ever hear of some mosque somewhere where they've had a Pentecostal move, write and tell me. I want to know where it's at, because I've been praying that way. And beyond that, I've been praying for the church in the Middle East. Here we are having a good time in a camp meeting, and we don't realize that there are Christians in Bethlehem, Nazareth, Jerusalem, Hebron, Haifa, Gaza Strip. I mean, that are under real pressure, persecution, suffering. And I mean Christians. And I got a letter from Jerusalem just the other day saying, please pray for the church in Gaza. And so I've been praying for the church there in Gaza. And so there's a need on. We need a revival across our nation that'll reach out into the rest of the world in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me read this again. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus, Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I want to call this message, and this is an odd name for it. It may not fit at all. I want to call it Shock and Awe. Shock and Awe. Amen. From verse 1, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, about 40 years old, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Such as I have. What did they have? Jesus had sent the disciples out in Matthew 10, you know, and he told these 12 when he sent them forth, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Over in 10:1, it says, and when he had called on him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits. He gave them power to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. The word power from that verse there in the Greek is exclusio. It means authority. Now, I know Acts 1:8 says, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you and I usually know what that means. Power, it means dunamis in the Greek. But in this instance, and in this repetition of this chapter in Mark and Luke, that word power means authority. Now let me turn over back over from Matthew 10 to Matthew 8. And it came to pass at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7, and I'm borrowing this from something else, Matthew 5 through 7. And by the way, Matthew 5 through 7 is the bylaws and constitution of the millennial reign. Matthew 5 through 7 is the bylaws and constitution of the millennial reign. If you want to know what it's going to be like during the millennial reign, read Matthew 5 through 7. And when he got through that Matthew 5 through 7, he got down to verse 28 and 29 of chapter 7. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now, eight times Jesus said, they shall. And that's a pretty positive statement. 14 times he said, I say. Now, where do you find language like that in the Bible? You go to Genesis chapter 1, and 10 times, God said. And here, these Jews, these Hebrews, they're at the sermon. There's good church folks. They'd been going to the synagogues all their life. That's all they knew. They were faithful to God, as faithful as they knew the law. And they'd gone, and they'd heard Moses said, Jeremiah said, David said, you know, amen, Isaiah said, Ezekiel said, and all that. They've been hearing that kind of stuff, and also what Rabbi this said, Rabbi that said, Rabbi over there, that one over there said that, you know, and they'd heard that all their life. And here he finished up, you know, and they were astonished. They stood there with their mouths open in absolute wonder. This man, they shall. I say. Hey, somebody say, praise the Lord. And so in the 28th, 29th, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. They hadn't heard anything like this in their whole born days. I mean, they'd been to church, and they're like, we have, you know, we go to church a lot of times, and we keep waiting for somebody to get something going to shout a little while, and we get to feeling a little bit better, but oh, there's so much more. Yeah. And time they got through listening to him, amen. Why, I tell you what, the sparks must have been flying. I'm sure some of them old-timers there, amen, that was 70 and 80 years old and been synagogues in all their life and have been always saying, there ought to be something like this. Many years ago in China, the missionary was holding a little meeting in a little store building there in one of those Chinese streets, and he's teaching those Chinese, you know, about Jesus Christ. And there was a Chinese businessman, successful businessman, that was traveling around China drumming up trade for his business. And he'd got into this little town, and he'd finished his day's business, and he had to do something. And so he went out for a walk, you know, in the evening, and he walked down the street, and he passed by that little mission. And he heard the strangest sound. They're singing in there, and it seemed like he's happy. Amen. And he went along, and he passed by it again, and he stopped. He didn't want to just look like, you know, that he was being nosy. He turned around and he walked back and forth. Finally, he couldn't stand it, and he got over right next to the door, and he kept listening to what was going on in there. Finally, he opened the door and sneaked in and got on the back seat. And these Chinese in there were all testifying and singing and having a big time, and he heard them mention Jesus several times. And so he sat there. When it was all over with, and the crowd left, he stayed, and he went up to the missionary, and he said, I wonder what this is all about. And the missionary set him down and told him a story about Jesus, about the love of God. And now God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that Chinese businessman said, all my life I've thought that somewhere there ought to be a God that loves. All my life, just a common ordinary businessman, you know, said, all my life. And I'll tell you, he just sat there in awe when he listened to what was going on. And that missionary told him that. And these Jews had been going to synagogues all their life, and here they listen to this new prophet, amen, this Nazarene, amen, as he began to teach them, they shall. Amen. And I'm sure that one of them old fellows said, I think, you know, I've been reading the Bible for myself, and I remember that God said in the first chapter of Genesis, God said. There has to be something to this. Amen. When they went away from there, they went away with a message like they'd never heard in their whole life. Yeah. And that word authority was exclusive. It meant absolute authority without any question, and right. Can do it. And that's the word that he used when he sent the 12 out. He gave them power. He gave them authority. And you know, we don't realize sometimes. We go along here and we don't realize what God's done for us. You don't have any idea what God done for you when he gave you the baptism of the Holy Ghost. When God, the Holy Ghost, that has all power, was willing to come down and live in you. And we walk around like we got a sack of jelly beans or something. Amen. We don't realize what we've got. Amen. It's a wonder we aren't jumping like a Mexican jumping bean all the time. No wonder some of our people get turned loose and can't stand still. Amen. And so Jesus told them when he sent those 12 away, he gave them authority over unclean spirits. Amen. Divine healing and everything. He gave them, get out of here now. You've got the power. Go out there and just say the word. That's all you have to do. We don't realize what God was doing. There in Acts 1 and 8. Ye shall receive power. Now the word there is dunamis this time. It's not occlusive, but it's dunamis. And Jesus said, amen. The Acts said, you shall be endued with power, dunamis. And our preachers go around and say, yeah, that's the word we get dynamite from. You're going to get dynamite after you get the Holy Ghost. You know what dynamite is? It's a big pop. Did you realize that's where we got the word dynamo? Amen. And that down there in the power plant, there's a dynamo that's running day and night and never quits. Amen. And it makes no difference how much you need. It's going to give you some more. Amen. And turn all the air conditioners on in town. Amen. And turn the pumps on and just get everything to going. That dynamo is just going to keep pouring out. He said, ye shall be endured with a dynamo after that the Holy Ghost has come on you. Glory to God. It's a wonder we're not turning some souls. No wonder the early Pentecostals were called holy rollers. You know what an electric motor does? It rolls and rolls and rolls and rolls and rolls. I remember when my boy got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He came to church on that Sunday morning. My boy had been away from God for 20 years. And he was in bad shape. It took us at least three days. Sister White and I praying almost all the time during 3 days to get him saved. I'm thinking we kept him right in our home. I called a factory and told him he wasn't able to come to work. I knew he might lose his job, but he's trying to get saved after 20 years, and he's in bad shape. And he got saved, and he come to church that Sunday morning, and he went to the altar, and he fell down, and he rolled like a log to that first pew, and bang, started rolling back to the altar, bang, he rolled back and forth. It was amazing to see that morning. Amen. No wonder he's rolling. Electric motors roll. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. You shall be a dynamo after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You know what they had, you know, in those days? They had, amen, shock and awe. In verse 10 of chapter 3, and said they knew that it was he which was set for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement. Their mouths hung open. This is him. Honest to goodness, I believe in my soul. I believe, isn't it him? I mean, I believe... Surely, I believe that's the same old ragged robe he had on this morning when I went. That has to be him. And they was amazed. Shock and awe. I mean, it got a hold of that bunch of people. Amen. They couldn't hardly handle that. Amen. Even the priests couldn't handle it. Now, don't let them speak in this name anymore. Shut this thing down. Glory to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Amen. They had the power. Amen. In Acts 5:12, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women. Amen. The church was charged with healing the sick and loosing the demon possessed. Amen. I'll tell you what, it's about time that we've seen signs and wonders, amen, following after us. If we want the world, amen, to get what we've got, let's give them some shock and awe. Let them come to church and say, I ain't never seen nothing like that in my whole life. This college boy came to church, never been in Pentecostal church, came to church in revival service, sat there in the back of the house, during the middle of the preaching, it got going pretty good, and he jumped up. Amen. Started running to the altar as hard as he could and said, I've just got to pray. Amen. Something's happening. Oh, we need something happening. Amen. We're too comfortable in our pews. Glory to God. We.
Amen.
I mean, the eagle needs to stir up his nest. You know what happens? We get too satisfied in our nest. Those little eaglets get satisfied in their nest. And mommy and daddy eagle say that, now this ain't going to work. You've got to fly, boy. So they get in there and take all the down out. They take all the leaves. They take all the soul stuff out. And them little eagles are sitting there on thorns and thistles. And it gets so uncomfortable, they got to jump. Amen. It's about time the Lord come in through here and started up and down these pews and took the down out. Amen. And took some of the, you know, and left us sitting on thorns and thistles. Till after a while, we'd get to turn around. Amen. And when we get to turn around, the world could see what Pentecost really has. Glory to the Lamb of God. Now, Brother Gabbard, I'm not supposed to be doing like this. I'm 82 years old. Amen. When we Pentecostals get our heads back in gear, you know, you can't do this. We can't build this church in programs. And I don't care how good our programs are. And you can buy all the books that's got 6 steps or 7 steps to revival that you want to. There's only one way to do it. Get down to business with God. Amen. And make up your mind.
You're talking to us.
Now, my church, I don't want to talk about myself. I don't want to talk about myself, but my church ran into a roadblock way back when I was a young Christian. Amen. Way back before Ronnie Coldarn's time, my church ran into a roadblock, and I mean we were dead in the water. We couldn't move that thing. No way. I mean, we had our little crowd, and that church wasn't moving, and I got desperate, and I said to myself, I know what I'll do. I'll fast.
Yeah.
I'll fast till 25 people get saved. And I went to the altar and I said, now, Lord, I'm going to. I couldn't get it out, Brother Gabbard. And so I went home and prayed some more. And I prayed and I prayed. I wanted that thing broke loose. It was worrying me. Amen. And I went back to the altar at the church. You know, I exposed myself right before the Lord and went back and I got down and said, now, Lord, we got to get this thing going. And I'm not going to eat anything until. I couldn't get it out. Amen. I prayed some more. I prayed some more. After I prayed some more, I went back to the altar, and this time I said, Lord, I'm not going to eat anything until 25 people get saved, and they have to be all over 15 years old. I didn't want to pad the thing with a bunch of 8 and 9 year olds. And when I said it, I knew I was into it. And after a few days, my dad got so mad, he threatened to take me over to the mental institution and admit me and make them force feed me. Oh, he got mad. My dad was just, he got beside himself. He couldn't handle that. Amen. And I went 10 days, 11 days, 12 days, 15 days, 18 days, 20 days, 21 days. Amen. I mean, you begin to wonder then. You know, folks slip around and try to talk you out of it. After 25 days, God had saved 25 men. And some of the best men in the church, amen, were saved. That's what it takes. You want to start a church? Don't wait for some poor old pastor to die and try to take over his church. Go out here somewhere and find some unchurched city, village that don't have a church. Go down some dead-end street there and find you a house got a big living room. Rent it and get permission. Start a church in the living room. Put your sign out in the front yard and go to pray and fast until God gives you a church of your own. Tele kasha mara kataya kashai. That's right. And we done pretty good, you know. We got past that. We built up until the church got to running 200 in summertime. Amen. And we had 199 one Sunday in the whole summer. The rest of them was over 200. And we done pretty good. And I got to thinking about a little city up the road, Newcastle, Indiana, a city of about 18,000-19,000, bigger than Connersville, Indiana. And I got concerned about them, and I knew there wasn't a homeless church up there anywhere. I knew there was 3 Jesus-only churches. I didn't learn until later on there were seven Jesus-only churches. I mean, they were multiplying like rabbits up there. I mean, they were splitting. I mean, it got pretty bad. And I wasn't concerned about it. And I said, I kept going up there and I'd drive around. And I'd get an evangelist in. And I'd take the evangelist in my car and I'd go up there and drive. And I said, this is a nice little town. They got a Chrysler manufacturing plant here. Amen. It's a prosperous little town. And I'll help you. If you decide to start here and start a church, I'll help you. I'll put you on my radio broadcast. And I'll take a busload of young folks and bring up there. And I'll knock on doors and pass out the flyers for you. And I'll write all the preachers around in the area and ask them to send a donation to help you. Amen. If you'll do it. I couldn't get an evangelist to do it. Not one. Not one evangelist was willing to try it. Amen. And that's a shame, but that's the way it was. And so, along about 2003, I decided, bless God, if I can't get anybody else to go, I'll go up there and do it myself with what I'm doing already. Yeah. But I was already busy enough. Here I was 78 years old, 77 years old. And so I seen a man lived in Newcastle, and I said, if you see a building come up that might be used for church, let me know. And he called me a little while later in December of 2003, and he said, the Church of God just built a new building, and their building's up for sale, and they want to sell it. And said, if you get a hold of this family, and said, you may be able to buy it. I drove up there and looked at it, and here was a nice cement block building in good repair, carpeted floor and padded pews, and built up high enough that the big windows in the basement, well subdivided for Sunday school rooms, a five-bedroom parsonage next door, and a full city housing lot paved next to it for a church parking lot. And I looked at that, and I went back home, and I got my board, and I took the board up there, and we went around and looked at it, and decided this is a pretty good chance. And I went to the bank and said, I want $95,000 with no down payment. I said, I want to start a mission in Newcastle, Indiana. And said, you know that our church is good for it. And we got money in the bank. And said, now we'll let you hold on to a little dab of our money. And I want to start that church. He said, okay. And we went up there and bid $95,000, got it, put a preacher in it today. Amen. We've got a young man from Newcastle, Indiana. From Matamoros, Indiana, pastoring there. We're running 27 to 32 or back and forth like that. Amen. They just installed a $12,000 furnace. Got all paid with $3,000 of it. They got a beautiful grand piano recently given to them. Amen. Paying all of their bills. Amen. And having church. Amen. And I feel like getting out on the street and waving my hands and see what God can do. Some folks say, you can't do it. I don't say, yeah, you can. We can. You can do it, too, if you'll trust God. You know what he said?
Right.
God hears.
Yeah.
God knows.
Yeah.
God will deliver.
Yeah.
If you'll just act on that, God hears. Amen.
Yeah.
We will just trust him and believe that he'll do what he said he'd do. I'll tell you what, it's untelling what. Amen. We'll never get our church built on programs. It was such as I have that won the day for the lame man. So here was Paul at Iconium, you know. Amen. His ministry a long time. Therefore, he stood there boldly speaking. The Lord granted signs and wonders to be done. Amen. Signs and wonders. Amen. They looked around and said, look what's happening. Amen. That Paul, who they were steadfast to look at him, perceived he had faith. He looked at that lame man and said with a loud voice, stand on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted their voices in the speech of Laconia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. That's what they're liable to say. Amen. Paul had sense enough to know better than that.
Yeah.
Said, you know we're not.
Yeah.
Amen. Shock and awe. That's what it's going to take. I remember what happened to Ralph Horton. He stopped at the little grocery to get some coffee and some cakes, and the girl didn't recognize him. Amen.
Yeah.
And I had talked to him sometime later. Apologized because he didn't recognize him. Amen. And amazed at what God had done.
Yeah. Right.
I remember when Sister Horton called the hospital again, said, would you say that again? Amen. They'd said, he's completely healed.
Yeah.
She said, say that again. Shock them all!
Yeah.
Run away!
Yeah. Yeah.
What's God?
Take
the
world! Take the world! All right.
Tell the world what God's done!
Yes.
We've come to the time when we're not seeing enough of that.
Right. You're right.
I was talking to an old-time Pentecostal boy, man just the other day. Amen. A man that has an Oklahoma background, godly man, wholeness man.
Yeah.
And he said, I have never seen an instant healing in my life. I thought, that's such a shame. How many we've got in our churches that are sitting around saying, yeah, I believe in healing. They say healing is all right. I believe in healing, but we're not seeing enough of it. I don't know what it's going to take to get it done, but we're not seeing enough of it. Amen. John G. Lake, and a lot of you, maybe some of you know John G. Lake, some haven't. John G. Lake, that got his start, you know, in the early 40s in Indianapolis, Indiana. Went to South Africa and started ministry down there, and I haven't got time to tell you about that. Came back to Spokane, Washington. In 5 years' time, without a church, John G. Lake moved into Spokane, didn't have a church building, went down the street, rented the room off the lodge, their big assembly hall off the lodge to have church on Sunday, rented him a building, amen, for his people, started praying for the sick, and in 5 years' time, recorded 100,000 recognized healings. 100,000. They'd bring them in and he'd pray for them. They brought a dozen in one time to pray for him. Lined them up. He started down the line. He prayed for this and prayed for this. Prayed this and didn't get healed. Said, stand over there. Prayed for this and they got healed. This and nothing didn't get healed. Said, stand over there. Nothing. Prayed for him. Got healed. When he got done, he had three. Hadn't got healed. Brought him back over and said, what's the matter with you? What do you got in your life? This one had a grudge against his brother. Said, you get rid of that. Said, God will heal you. This woman was mad at her husband. Amen. And she had something against her husband. He said, you fix that up with your husband, you get healing. He went right down the list. Amen. God was taking care of things. Amen. He was averaging, I think, 384 a week or so. Amen. Getting healed positive. I mean, the whole town knew what was happening. Didn't even have a church building. Dorothy, some of you that know, you've read, you know, Dorothy Trudell, little old German girl in Germany, lived over close to the Swiss border, just a little old maid that worked in a linen shop or something like that, in one of them factories where they made garments or something. Amen. Little Dorothy she had a godly mother, and she was a godly girl herself. And four of her Christian friends got sick, and they was out of work, and they couldn't work because they were sick. And she got on her knees to pray for him. She was just concerned about him. She got on her knees to pray for him. She said, now, Lord, the Bible says call for the elders of the church. And said, we haven't got any elders around here, nowhere. She said, there are no elders around here anywhere. I can't call for any elders. And she said, the only thing I can do is pray for him myself. And said, if you'll help me, I'll pray for him myself. And she went to her four friends and prayed for him, and God healed them.
All right.
And some folks heard about it, and they come and let her pray for him, and God healed them. And then some more come, and God healed them. And then some more came. And after me, there's so many swarming in. Her friend said, quit your job and just do that. God will take care of it. And she quit her job. Some of them that come in didn't get healed first time she prayed. Amen. And they was a long way from home. They came in from France. They came in from Britain. They came in from Switzerland. They came in from Belgium. I mean, the word was getting out that this little girl, this little maid over here in Germany, praying for the sick and is getting well. She got her house full. She had them. She's praying for them. Amen. That while one would leave and another one fill the bed, and she got it full. She didn't have any room. She rented the house next door. Amen. She had it full, and she got some carpenters, started building a third house next door. And the preachers in town got so jealous of her, they got a court order against her to stop her. Amen. And they tried to put her out of business. And a lawyer in town felt sorry for her. And he took her case and beat the preachers. Amen. And kept the thing going. And she kept going on. And pretty soon, amen, they took her to court again. And this time the court ruled she don't use medicine. She don't use a knife. She's not operating on anything. The only thing the girl's doing is reading the Bible and praying for him. Leave her alone. And so they told him, leave her alone. And after all, here come Germany. The Germans brought a great big plaque and put it on the door of her building. This is a healing institution certified by the nation of Germany. A little old woman with three buildings. I want you to know that the God that I serve, amen, is able to do that. That's shock and awe. We need to get back to that again. With signs following them. Amen. But a girl prayed for the sick that way, and she didn't. They didn't. If they didn't have any money, she fed them anyhow. If anybody had a shilling, she took a shilling, and after a while, somebody gave her some money, and she kept that little old place going. And so I want you to know that God that Jesus said he was preaching with authority, and he told those 12 he sent out, I give you authority. Amen. And Jesus said over in Matthew 28, I have power, I have authority. And he delegated that authority to the church, and we walk around like we don't know. We don't even have a second cousin in heaven. When you stop to consider that we're holiness people. Now, I talk to God. I get down on my knees and I talk to God. And I tell him, I say, now look, Lord, we're holiness people. And we're trying our best to do things according to holiness standards. We're trying to preach right. We're trying to tell the truth. And I said, we're gathering together and we're worshiping. And we're keeping the church going, offering holiness standards. We got to have you. Amen. There's a scripture that's been on my mind for a long time. If you'll let me turn to it on Psalm 28. If I can find it real quick. Psalm 28. Amen. That I've turned to time and time again. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. And I said to the Lord, O God, talk to us again. I've heard some young preachers go to the pulpit and say, God gave me this. And after they got due, I wondered. After they got through, I wondered. I remember what Vince Wilson said one day. He said, I've heard some sermons. I wish they had memorized one in a book. Amen. Oh, how we need the Lord to start talking to us again. Until we walk to the pulpit and the thought that we had before us, God says, no, I don't want you to preach on that. I want you to preach on something else. Amen. How we've come to the time. As I stand here before you today, thinking about Vince Wilson, Johnny Trevelyan, John W. Sullivan. Amen. B.H. Miller. Garrett White. Garrett Horton. Grandma Horton. As I think about them, I think, oh God, walk down this aisle. Walk across the front here. In their memory. Lord, walk down that aisle. Go across back there and come back down. And Lord, while you're doing it, Holy Ghost, do it. You see, let me say this. Back in the Wales Revival, back about 200 years ago, there was a prominent evangelist by the name of Hal Harris. And this evangelist, he'd been going around holding meetings, you know, and the revival was on. And Hal Harris kept a diary. And he had a good meeting, you know, and he went back to his room and got his diary out and he wrote down, authority was here tonight. Authority was here tonight. He had another meeting, he wrote down, authority was here tonight. Amen. Another meeting, authority is here tonight. And one night he went back to his room and he said, authority wasn't there tonight. You can tell when he ain't in the arrangements. I mean, you can sing as loud as you want to, and you can have the best specials that you can get, amen, and you can do all the little tricks that you want to stir it up, but there comes a time when authority is not there. And he went on his face begging God, Lord, if it's me, if there's something in my life that's not right, wash it out. Take it away. Amen. Next time you went to church, authority was there. Amen. One of the things that made the Wales Revival so great is they recognized, amen, there's a Holy Ghost. I know that we're all baptized with the Holy Ghost, but there is a Holy Ghost that chooses to come in and walk up and down in our midst. He chooses to come down and walk our aisles. He chooses to. Amen. You can tell. I told this the other day. Leon Baker pastored in Annapolis for many years. Godly man. got in a crisis one time, a real crisis. And he told his wife, said, honey, I'm going over to church. And said, don't let nobody come over there and bother me. Don't, if there's any phone calls, don't you bother me. He said, I got to get with God. He went over to the church, walked in, turned around, and he locked the door. He went to the side door, and he locked it. He went around and made sure that every window in the place was locked. And then he went to the altar. And he got down on his knees and got down to business with God. He was talking to God when suddenly he heard footfalls. They must have been heavy. And he said they was coming out of a corner. There wasn't any door. He heard those footfalls come and come down the aisle. He heard those footfalls walk up right next to where he was at. And he said he was face down, afraid to look up. And after a while, when things was getting better, he heard the footfalls turn and went back. And they were gone. He said when he got up, he checked the door again, make sure it's locked. He checked the windows again, and it's locked. Authority was there. Authority was there. Authority came on the scene. That's what we've got to have today. We've got to have the authority walking the aisles of our church again. Sing as good as you can sing. Shout as big as you want to shout. Amen. Just do your best. But we need authority walking around on our platform. Amen. Down along our pews. We need the Holy Ghost, the third person of the triune Godhead. Amen. Taking possession of the place. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he changes not. He'll do today what he did then. We need to get our expectations up. I want him to walk around. If I could, I'd like to put my arms around this whole congregation.
All right.
In the name of Vince Wilson, John Trevision, John W. Sullivan, H. Miller, Grand Horton, Grandma Horton, put my arms around all of you for them and ask God to come in and walk up and down the aisles of the church once again while we stand. Heavenly Father, I mean this as sincere as I know how. Would you please come in and walk down the aisles? Would you please walk across in front of this congregation, walk back up another aisle, and as you go, reach out across that pew and touch that sister that needs a touch. That one right now, Lord, that needs help, there's pain in her body. Touch that brother, Lord, that needs strength in his body, wants to attend all of this meeting, needs you to help him. Touch that backslider, Lord, that's kind of hungry to find God again. Touch them all over this building. And God, make Richland Tabernacle meeting this year the best event that they can remember in recent history, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
You can come to this altar anytime you want to and stay as long. Service will be at 6 o'clock. This little girl in our in the church here, Eden, 5 years old, and they've took her back to Duke just a little while ago, and it's a heart. So let's pray. Father, dear Lord, for little Eden, dear God,